Good afternoon and grace and peace. This is Ava Bethel. I am the elder and apostle elect of the Sent Miami Training Hub. Amen. Sent Miami, the church. Amen. I am the lead steward. I am humbly, I say that with all humility, and such an honor to lead this apostolic work here in the earth. And I want to welcome each and every one of you to 60 for 60. This is our prayer formation journey that has been designed to build our spiritual capacity. It's been designed to deepen our intimacy with God, and it has been designed to train us to govern in the spirit, right? So we began this journey on January the 5th, and today is February the 23rd, which places us on day 50. That's right. And so as we stated this morning, by this point, we are not only building a routine, right? We are identifying what God has been strengthening within us, what he has been exposing to us, and what he is calling us to surrender even deep, even with more depth. Let me say it that way. So 60 for 60 is shaping more than just our prayer time. It is really shaping our inner life. And we talked about that early this morning. We laid a really serious foundation this morning. Gates is not something new to this particular environment. We've been talking about gates for a minute now. And so we're continuing that conversation. This morning we focused on the need for believers to examine not only what is happening around them, but also what may be active within us, right? We covered the importance of internal gates and the necessity of allowing God to search our hearts, but we also addressed fear. Fear is a gate, and it has to be confronted and fought every single day. You cannot tolerate fear. And so in the morning session, we established that spiritual maturity is going to require honesty before God. And we also established that prayer is not only for external warfare. Prayer is where the Lord begins to expose those hidden openings. He begins to correct any inner disorder within us, and he strengthens us to live with truth and with courage. And so for this noonday session, we're going to continue this this conversation on today. And I'm going to pick up at point number three. Point number one and two we went over this morning. And we're talking about governing our internal governing our internal world, how prayer trains us to live clean and to live humbly and strong. So point number three on today is holiness without burden for the family of God becomes self-righteousness. This is such an important point. Holiness without burden for the family of God becomes self-righteousness. For those that are able to take notes, I want you to write that down. Holiness without burden for the family of God becomes self-righteousness. Now, God calls us to holiness, right? But God also calls us to carry burden for the people of God. And so at noon on today, I want to talk a little bit about the family of God. If you hear me mention brotherhood, I'm not talking about male or female. I'm really talking about the family of God, which means our covenant responsibility for fellow believers, the household of faith, right? These are phrases that are synonymous with one another, the body of Christ. And again, it includes women and men. It includes leaders and members, those who are strong and those who are struggling. A person can become very spiritually serious, and they still can drift into self-righteousness if holiness is separated from burden bearing. A person can discern sin, and they can discern it very accurately, and they can still respond wrongly in our heart posture. A person can perceive corruption and begin to build identity around being different from others instead of becoming more useful to God in intercession and service. And so we want to talk to us about what true holiness produces. True holiness is going to produce deeper responsibility, right? It's not going to produce a distance from the family of God, but it's going to produce a deeper responsibility within. It's going to produce intercession. It's going to produce humility. It's going to produce compassion, a compassionate discernment without compromise. So there's a repeated biblical pattern where major moments of calling and leadership are connected to responsibility towards others. Let's look at Moses. Moses and identification with his people, right? That's a biblical pattern, right? Moses and the identification with his people. Then you have Joseph being sent to check on his brothers. That's a biblical pattern right there. Okay, what a powerful man of God, and his brothers were envious of him. His brothers threw him in a pit, right? But Joseph was sent to check on his brothers. Look at David being sent to his brothers before a major moment of deliverance happened. The early biblical emphasis on brotherhood after Eden. So this is a divine thread, and we want you to see that, that God watches how we handle one another in covenant life. I'll say that again. God watches how we handle one another in covenant life. And so this point addresses, what is this correcting us? It corrects spiritual elitism. It corrects pride disguised as purity. It corrects ministry identity that's built on exclusivity. It corrects criticism without intercession. It addresses distance from the people that we are called to serve, okay? Listen, one thing I can say is that I will never give a criticism that I won't help you correct, right? There's one thing about giving criticism, that's a part of correction, that you provide someone with corrective criticism, you provide them with feedback that can help them, right? But it becomes even more useful when you can help them, right? And so we don't want to develop these spiritual elitist attitudes where, you know, we're seen as having it all together, and you don't have it all together, and I don't know, you know, I can tell you what's wrong with you, but I can't help you along the way. We want to correct that. We don't want to be self-righteous, right? And so I want you to ask yourself today in your time of reflection, do I carry burden for the family of God in prayer? Do I carry a burden for the family of God in prayer? Have I allowed discernment to remain tender in me? Right? Ask yourself that question. Do I pray for those that I critique? Right? Sometimes we have to bring correction to people, but do we also pray for them? Is my holiness producing humility in me? Is it producing usefulness in me? Why don't you take a moment to reflect on that today? Do I carry a burden for the family of God in prayer? Have I allowed discernment to cause my heart to remain tender? Do I pray for those that I must give feedback to? And is my holiness producing humility and usefulness? Amen. Point number four, prayer is the place of exchange. Yep, I know you know that. But it's also the place of exposure. And it's the place of empowerment in suffering. Many believers understand prayer and suffering as a place to ask God for relief. But prayer does not include that. It also includes something deeper. Prayer is where suffering is brought under the light of God so that pain does not become the ruling voice in the soul. So scripture shows that Jesus, being in agony, he prayed what? More earnestly. Scripture also teaches that he learned obedience through what he suffered. And so that gives us a pattern for spiritual maturity. Suffering submitted to God becomes a place of formation. Why don't you take a moment and write that down? Suffering that's submitted to God becomes a place of transformation. Suffering awakens the flesh. Yep. It can intensify self-protection and despair. It can intensify offense and confusion. It can even intensify impatience. But prayer is where the soul is brought back under divine order. Prayer is going to restore our perspective. It's going to give us strength. Prayer exposes what pain is trying to shape in us, and it allows God to form something even better. If pain is left uninterpreted before God, then you know what's going to happen? It's going to harden the heart. But if pain is processed in prayer, it can produce endurance, it can produce clarity, and it can produce a deeper obedience. So I want to tell you today what prayer does in suffering. Prayer is going to allow you to bring pain honestly before God. Prayer is going to allow you to receive strength without pretending. Prayer is going to allow you to gain proper perspective beyond the immediate pressure that you're feeling. Prayer is going to allow you to resist isolation. Prayer is going to allow you to endure with obedience and stability. And prayer is going to allow you to exchange heaviness for grace to continue. And so at this point in day 50, we've got to ask ourselves, has pressure made me more prayerful or has it made me more reactive? Go ahead and reflect on that for a moment. Has pressure made me more prayerful or has it made me more reactive? What has suffering exposed in me? Ask yourself that today. What has suffering exposed in me? Where is God teaching me obedience? And have I brought my pain to God for exchange? Or have I only narrated it? One more time, has pressure made me more prayerful or has it made me more reactive? What has suffering exposed in me? Where is God teaching me obedience? And have I brought my pain to God for exchange? Or have I only narrated it? And so point number three today was holiness without burden for the family of God becomes self-righteousness. Remember, we're talking about governing our internal way. Our internal world. Governing our internal world, how prayer is going to train us to live clean, humble, and strong lives. So point number three was holiness without burden for the family of God becomes self-righteousness. And then we just talked about prayer being a place of exchange, but it's also a place of exposure and empowerment in suffering. And then I'm going to stop here, even though I have more points. I'm going to stop at point number five. Mercy is a throne-issued intervention that brings instruction and strength. Mercy is a throne-issued intervention that brings instruction and strength. Mercy must be understood with precision in prayer. Mercy is not only emotional comfort. Mercy is divine intervention that creates room for deliverance and reordering. There are situations in life where we do not fully understand all the factors involved. There may be layers of history. There may be layers of behavior and grief or confusion and repeated patterns. And so in those moments, asking for mercy is a very serious and mature prayer. Mercy can stabilize the mind before circumstances visibly change. Mercy can bring peace in the middle of pressure. Mercy can bring instruction concerning what must be repented of, what must be renounced, what must be removed or reordered. Mercy does not remove responsibility. Mercy empowers obedience. So let's talk about what mercy does a little bit more in practice. Well, mercy is going to create a space for repentance and correction. Mercy is going to give you clarity for the next steps in your life. It's going to strengthen the mind to respond wisely. It's going to bring you peace where confusion has ruled, and it's going to empower endurance while God is still working. And so take a moment to reflect on this. Father, I ask for mercy in what I do not fully understand. I want you to reflect, but I also want you to ask the Lord today for mercy in what you don't understand fully. Let mercy speak over your household and your future. Ask the Lord to give you instruction for what must be addressed and to strengthen you to obey what he reveals, and then establish peace and order where there has been confusion. And so on today, we've addressed internal gates, and we've addressed fear earlier this morning, but we just addressed continuation in holiness and burden when it comes to the family of God, humility when it comes to the family of God. We also talked about suffering and prayer, mercy, and consecration, right? And so on this day 50, there's a call for deeper accountability. We're not just asking God to move around us, but we're asking God to govern in us, to cleanse us, to train us to respond and to respond with maturity. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning's watch. We thank you for this noonday watch. We thank you that your word is working in us on today. Even if it's something that's being reiterated, we thank you, God, that another layer is being addressed in us that needs to be removed. We thank you that you are not only calling us to pray, but you are calling us to be governed. We thank you that you are exposing and cleansing and strengthening and aligning us in this journey. And so as we continue in this day 50, we submit again to your examination. Let nothing in us resist your correction. Let nothing in us defend what you are confronting. Let nothing in us harden under your word. Give us soft hearts today. Give us clear minds today. Give us obedient spirits today. Let this noonday watch deepen us, Lord God, as you did this morning. Let truth settle into our inward life. Let conviction become action, Father. Let instruction become obedience. Let your spirit bring order where there has been disorder, and let your hand strengthen what is weak in us, O God. Father, we pray and we ask you to purify our motives as we pursue holiness. Preserve us from spiritual pride. Preserve us from self-righteousness. Preserve us from using discernment to elevate ourselves above the family of God. Teach us to carry holiness and humility together. Teach us to carry truth and compassion together. Teach us to remain clean in heart while also carrying burden for your people in prayer. We lift up the family of God before you today. We lift up the household of faith. We lift up leaders and ministers and intercessors. We lift up new believers. We lift up struggling believers. We lift up wounded believers and weary believers, and those returning to you after compromise. Strengthen your people today, God. Heal your people. Correct your people. Restore your people. Establish your people. Lord, we have become critical without becoming prayerful. So we pray today that you would correct us. Where we have become distant instead of burdened, we pray that you would correct us. Where we have become impressed with our own discernment, we pray that you correct us. Give us the heart to stand in the gap. Give us the heart to intercede faithfully. Give us the heart to serve without self-exaltation. Let our consecration produce usefulness in your house, God. Let our prayer life carry the family of God. Let our discernment remain tender and submitted in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we submit our suffering, our pressure, our private pain to you today. We refuse to let pain rule our inner life. We refuse to let pressure become the loudest voice in our soul. We bring every burden into your presence today, and we ask you to govern us in the midst of it. Teach us to pray more deeply in seasons of agony. Teach us to bring pain into the place of exchange. Teach us to receive strength, perspective, and instruction while we endure. Teach us to obey in the midst of what we do not enjoy. We ask for grace to resist bitterness. We ask for grace to resist despair. We ask for grace to resist reactionary speech, reactionary decisions, reactionary conclusions. Let suffering not deform our character, but let suffering become a place where our hands form, where your hand forms endurance and humility and spiritual weight in us. Lord, where pain has made us silent before you, we pray, God, that you would draw us back into prayer. Where pressure has made us reactive, Father, we pray that you would restore order to our soul. Where grief has clouded our discernment, we pray, God, that the light of God would shine. Where exhaustion has weakened our focus, God, we pray that you would strengthen us by your Spirit. We declare that our pain will not define us. We declare that our pain will not define us. We declare, Lord God, that prayer will remain our place of exchange. We declare that obedience will be formed in us by the grace of God. And as we continue with day 50, we do it with a seriousness and with a spiritual attention. Help us to carry this lesson into the remainder of our day. Let the Lord keep searching us and examining us. Let the Holy Spirit keep correcting us. Let the prayers of the righteous remain. May we remain open to everything that we are stating, that we are presenting before you. Let us be clean. Let us be responsive. Let our consecration become practical. Let the burden for family, Lord God, deepen even the more. Let mercy guide us into instruction and obedience. This noonday watch, we are being formed. It is a part of the building process. And we will continue in that process with faith and with humility. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. What is your response to the Lord today? What is your response to the Lord in during this time of prayer as you begin to listen to the lesson on today? Where did this word hit home? Did it hit home when we were talking about mercy? Did it hit home when we were talking about having a burden for the family of God? Did it hit home when we were talking about intervention or suffering or prayer being a place of exposure? Where did it hit home for you today? And do you have a testimony on today? If you have a testimony that you would like to share, or if you would like to share how the word began to hit home, what things stood out to you and what things that you will implement in your internal world, we're opening the line for you on this afternoon.
Peace and peace. This is Pastor Kim. I thank you, Apostle, for this instruction this morning. Holiness without burden for the family of God becomes self-righteousness. That thing was like a sack of potatoes, reminding me, myself, to continue to always be humbled before God when it comes to prayer, when it comes to discernment, not just for myself, but for, or not just for others, but for myself as well. Making sure when you started to speak on, you know, correcting others, but do you pray for those that you're correcting? Are you really seeking God concerning the individuals? And so that really hit for me as I contend for my family. Am I being sincere? Am I not necessarily sincere? What was the word you use? Bringing my pain honestly before God. One thing about family, you're going to hurt. if they're close to you, they love you, it's going to bring about a pain when they do something versus someone else, like a stranger doing something to you. So bringing the pain that you feel before God honestly letting him know exactly where you are, and not how oftentimes, and I'm going to just speak for myself, you know, coming to God, not trying to be honest about what you feel as though he doesn't know exactly what you feel about the situation or the person. And so that really hit home for me as a reminder to, in my time of prayer, being authentic with where my pain is and allowing God to expose those areas and show me. So when I am contending for family or people, that I'm not being self-righteous, that I don't fall into that self-righteous window, but I'm coming earnestly and humbly and merciful before God, asking for his mercy, but asking for purity in heart when it comes to praying for family and his people. So thank you so much, Apostle, for this reminder. Thank you for this strategy as we continue to expand and grow when it comes to prayer. This has been such a beautiful time in God, this initiative. It has shown me so much, and I'm so grateful that you were obedient to God in this, because this has truly reshaped my prayer life and has given me more of a sensitivity of myself and just, you know, where God is really wanting to fine-tune the little things that go unnoticed. So thank you.
It is so easy. When we've overcome something, it can be so very easy for us to not have a compassion or not have an understanding for those that have not yet overcome those areas. I'm guilty of that. There's times where even things that maybe I didn't have to necessarily overcome, but that come with ease for me, that doesn't mean that they come with ease for other people. And so it's the balance of having grace, but also still pushing the person forward. Now, let me say that grace does run out, even with God, you know, but God is very long-suffering with us, and so we should be with others as well. You know, I'm the type of person that, you know, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to walk with you to the end, but I am not going to tolerate you staying where you are. You know, I'm not going to tolerate excuses, and so And that's the thing with the apostolic that people grapple with, because when you're under an apostolic leader, that apostolic leader is not as concerned with your feelings as they are with your growth, and that can rub people the wrong way. But keeping the balance, as I said earlier, sometimes it can be very easy to cross that line and not show people grace for things that you've overcome, but they're just not there yet. And so it is very humbling for me as well. When I'm speaking, I'm not just speaking to you, although I'm the one that's conveying the message is hitting me as well. So I thank God, amen, for opening up this up for all of us to view our and examine our own hearts. Amen. If there's anyone else that would like to share, if there's something that stood out to you on this afternoon, if you have a testimony that you would, notable testimony that you would like to share on this afternoon, please feel free to come before us at this time. Amen. I don't want to leave anyone out, so I do give a little bit more time at 12 noon because sometimes people are running in the hallway. They may be stepping outside so they can talk. So if you're here and you would like to come forth, if there's something that pricked your heart or something that God just is reiterating to you that really stood out, God is highlighting and you want to share that, you can come forth at this time. Amen. Well, we certainly do thank you all for joining us today at noon, and we just want to remind you that we aren't done yet. Get your 20 minutes in today with the Lord, at least 20 minutes at a minimum. If you take a walk today, talk to him. If you set some time aside when the kids go to bed to be with him, do that. Amen. Don't treat it like you're checking a box. Treat it as your consecrated time with the Lord that is precious to you and exclusive. So we encourage you to get your 20 minutes at a minimum in before you lay your head down to go to sleep. And feel free at any point to go to our website and you can obtain the replays for previous prayer sessions that we've had during this entire time of 60 for 60. Now, we do want to state that guess what? Some of them were not recorded. We didn't catch that. But for the majority of the recordings, they are there and available to you to go back and listen to. Give 24 hours for the current ones to be uploaded, but they'll be there and ready and available for you. We also want to invite our 60 for 60 family out to join us as we celebrate the birthday of Prophet DeMarcus Williams, amen, who is a charter member of SIT Miami and our first fruit of sending. So this is not just about his birthday. Of course, he's turning 40 on March the 2nd, which is next Monday. He will be 40 years old. But on the 6th, we are also celebrating him because he will be moving to Houston. So we would love for our 60 for 60 family to join us on that day. It's at 7:30 p.m. right here in the city of Miami. So for those that are out of town, this will be a great opportunity for you not only to meet your 60 for 60 family in person, but also to meet the voice behind the conference line in the personality of Prophet DeMarcus Williams. And so we want you to save that date, March the 6th. It's a Friday night at 7:30 p.m. Let's gather together, amen, to lift up the man of God. Amen. And also we want to encourage you to join us this Sunday, March the 1st, the first Sunday. The first is the first Sunday of the month of March. Join us. We are going to have something special for you on March the 1st, and we want you to be in the place. We'll give you more information about it on tomorrow, amen, but we want to invite you out to Encounter Mornings at 5 a.m. this upcoming Sunday, March the 1st. Amen. Those are all of the announcements that I have. I think I said all of them. If somebody can come forth and remind me if I'm missing something. I think I said everything. All right. Well, we're matriculating fast, y'all. I mean, we just got in 2026, and we're at the last week of February. All right. Meaning we only have one more month in this quarter. What has got? I want you to take this audit. I want you to go and reflect on the audit that was given to you on this morning and also this afternoon. We've got things to do, and we've got a mission to accomplish, and we need to do it within the time frame that God has given us. So listen, we're moving into the last month of the first quarter. Let us ensure that we are doing everything possible to accomplish what God has given to our hands within this first quarter. All right? We love you, more grace, and we'll hope to hear you back here tomorrow at 5 a.m. More grace.